party.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and mercies. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for your presence and power that is working great things in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the battles you fought for us and won for us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to draw closer to you. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in so many ways. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Thank you for your strength that is giving us the ability to do what is right in your sight continually. Thank you for the doors you have opened for us. Thank you for giving us joy and peace. Thank you, Father. We are grateful for your understanding that is manifesting in our spirits and souls. Thank you for making us to know the truth that is able to set us free. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all the things we have learned during the past Bible study classes. And we thank you for what you're going to teach us today. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for the authority of your word, the authority of your scriptures that is real. Thank you, Father, because we can believe your word. We can hold on to your word and we can prosper through doing that. Thank you, Father. We are here to learn again. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Make us to know things that are beyond our imaginations. Open our heart to see a lot that are hidden from us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching. We have been looking at reasons why persecutors attack Christians. And last week we talked on self-righteousness and misguided religious zeal as one of the reasons. Self-righteousness and misguided religious zeal. Yeah, those that are self-righteous and those that have a religious zeal that is not proper, they tend to persecute God's people. Yeah, so today we are looking at another reason or reasons people also are being persecuted for breaking religious traditions and doctrines. Yeah, that's another reason. Yeah, because they break religious traditions and doctrines. Yeah, and we have examples in the Bible of people who were persecuted because some religious leaders felt they are breaking certain traditions or certain doctrines. Yeah, so we're going to look at some of the examples. And we're also going to look at religious jealousy. Religious jealousy and fear of competition. Yeah, so we're going to look at these reasons. Yeah. They're like four reasons. So we're going to look at all those four together. Number one, when you break religious traditions, you are going to be persecuted. And also when you break religious doctrines, you're going to be persecuted. And also religious jealousy. Yeah, some people, they have religious jealousy. And some other people, they feel like your spiritual advancement is a kind of competition. Yeah, they feel like you're trying to outshine them. Yeah, maybe you newly became a Christian maybe some 3 years ago, or maybe this year you newly became a Christian this year. And then you began to perform miracles. I mean, God began to use you to perform miracles. Now, there are some people who are religious who can feel jealous. So they feel like they have been in the church, they have been a Christian for the past 20 years, 25 years. Or 30 years, and they haven't been working miracles, then why is it that you, who newly became a Christian, now is the one everyone gets to know about? You are now becoming famous, and you are now doing great exploits for God and His kingdom. So these people, they get offended. Yeah, so that is religious jealousy. And also fear of competition. So they have this fear that you are competing with them. And that you will become more relevant than them. And that people will now start running towards you instead of them. So these reasons why Christians get persecuted. Yeah, so we're going to look at all these reasons together. So let's start from breaking religious traditions. So what are religious traditions? Maybe I should start with what does it mean to be religious? Or what does it mean to be religious? To be religious simply means that you have this outward identity with a divine being. That is, you publicly or physically identify with a divine being or a deity. And not only that, you publicly and physically engage in certain activities or practices or rituals that are towards worshipping a divine personality. Yeah, so that is what it means to be religious. So it means you're showing something physically. Yeah, you're showing a physical duty or exercise, or you're doing certain practices or activities or rituals toward worshipping a deity or a divine being, an heavenly being. So that is religion, or that is being religious. Yeah, so that is what being religious means. Yeah, it's all about what you can show in the physical. Yeah, for instance, I could walk out of my house and sit at the front of my house where for instance, maybe my house is close to the roadside, yeah, where people pass by. Yeah, or vehicles pass by, or people pass by that roadside. Yeah, so being religious means that I walk out of my house and I carry my Bible, and then I sat in front of my house reading the Bible. Now, I might have a good intention about doing that, but that act is religion. I might also have another intention of making others feel like I'm very spiritual, making others feel like I have a serious relationship with God. Yeah, so religion is just the physical demonstration of spirituality, yeah, or worship of a divine being, yeah, and you can demonstrate anything to give people an impression that you are a spiritual person, yeah, but the people may not know your intention for doing that. Yeah, they may not know what your intention really is. But anyone that sees what you are doing, they can tell that maybe you belong to Christianity religion or Islamic religion or whatever religion. Yeah, by the way you show it, you know, by what you show, people can tell which religion you're practicing. Yeah, so religion is evident by our outward practices, physical practices, physical or visible rituals, or activities, spiritual exercises, what people can see. Yeah, that is how religion is being evident. Praise the Lord. So so we can also say that we Christians, we do religious activities. Yeah, but our calling as a Christian is not to be religious, though we can do things that appear as religious, but we have not been called to be religious. I don't know if I get my point. Yeah, we can do things that we convince people that we are religious or we are spiritual, but our calling is not to convince people. Yeah, in fact, our calling is not to give people an impression or to give people any impression. Yeah, our calling is to impress God who have called us. Yeah, every Christian have been called into a close relationship with God, not to practice religion. Now, we will definitely do things that will appear religious, but that is not what God have called us to do. What God have called us to do is to please Him, to love Him, and to know Him. Yeah, that is what God have called us to do. Yeah, not to be religious. Now, other examples of being religious are attending church services. Yeah. And you know, praying very loud, or praying very, praying in a way that people know, people can see that you are praying. So all of those are religious activities, singing praises and worship, giving offerings and tithes and all of that. They are religious activities. Yeah. But they are good. Praise the Lord. All of those things are good. It's good to attend church services. It is good to pray. Yeah, and sometimes it is good that you pray very loud. Yeah, it is good to give offerings and tithes. It is good to sing worship and praises. It is good to dance. It is good to preach the word of God, to evangelize. All of these things are good, but there are some that are not good. So, which is what we are going to be looking at. Yeah. So there are some traditions, some religious traditions that are completely outside of God's will. They are completely against God's will. But the people that are doing those traditions, they will tell you that they are doing the will of God. They will tell you that God is pleased with what they are doing. They will tell you that what they are doing is correct and is right and is righteous. But it is not. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So what is a religious tradition? Yeah. A religious tradition is a man-made system of worshiping God or engaging with God's presence. Yeah, that is not biblically correct. It is a system created by human beings. It's not in the Bible. I mean, some human beings just sat down and, I mean, some religious people just sat down and then they feel like if we do things like this and we do things like that, God is going to be happy about it. And we are going to connect with God's presence very fast if we do things like this and we do things like that. Yeah, so that is tradition. That is religious tradition. So usually tradition is what human beings create. Yeah, and they enforce it as a law everybody should follow. Yeah, and there's nowhere in the Bible that says we should do that. That says Christians should do that. Yeah, but these people, they, I don't know, maybe a fallen angel spoke to them. Maybe a devil spoke to them. Yeah, maybe an unclean spirit spoke to them. Maybe a demon spoke to them. Unclean spirits can speak to people and can show people things. Yeah, so these people, they just felt like if we do things in this way, God is going to like it. And then they decided to make it a rule everyone should follow. So that is a tradition. So it's something people just think in their head and feel like everyone should do things in this way in order to be acceptable by God. Like, for instance, some churches, they will tell you to go and take some bait in a river for cleansing. Yeah. Yeah, things like that. They say you should go and take your bait in a river, or you should go and bath in a river. Yeah, for cleansing before you should now appear before God, or before you can be acceptable in God's presence, that you have to go and take a bath in a river or with some kind of spiritual water. Yeah, so they feel like if you don't bath with that water and wash yourself with that water, you can't be acceptable in the sight of God. And then some other churches, they give people candles. Yeah, they say, go and pray with this candle. Yeah, in fact, some, they have different colors of those candles. They have yellow color, they have red color, they have black color, and then, of course, they have white color of candles. And then they tell you, light this candle, light that one, say this, say prayer like this. In fact, some will even tell you that if you don't do it this way, God is not going to answer your prayer. So these are traditions, because there's nowhere in the Bible that supports that. Yeah, those practices are biblically incorrect or biblically wrong. Yeah, but these people, they do it a lot, and they just have to do it. They don't believe their prayers can ever be answered if they don't do those traditions and practices. Yeah, so that is religious traditions. Yeah, now, we who are enlightened, we believers who are in the right path, who are worshiping and serving God the right way, we can be persecuted by those other Christians or believers, in quotes, who are following religious traditions, because they would want you to join them. So let us read Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 10 to 14. Matthew 12, verse 10 to 14. And behold, there was the man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Yeah, you can see, that is an example of a religious doctrine. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I said we'll be looking at like four reasons why. I mean, today we'll be looking at four reasons why persecutors attack Christians. And I said, if Christians break religious traditions and religious doctrines, yeah, they would be persecuted. So now, in this passage that I have just read, they were persecuting Jesus because of the religious doctrine. So now, I have already defined what a religious tradition means. Now, what is a religious doctrine? Yeah, what is a religious doctrine? A religious doctrine is a doctrine that is in the Bible, that people take religiously instead of take it spiritually. Yeah, a religious doctrine is a commandment in the Bible that people decide to follow it religiously instead of follow it spiritually. Yeah, because it was in the Bible that we should keep the Sabbath days, we should observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's in the Bible. Yeah, that no one should walk on the Sabbath day, that everyone should stay in their houses and then gather together in the synagogue or in the temple to worship God, to spend time with God. You know, that everyone should not walk in that day. No business should be done in that day. Yeah, that day should be dedicated to rest and to fellowshipping with God. Yeah, so that was what the law commanded, the Old Testament laws. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but these people, they don't fully understand the spirituality of that law. Yeah, they don't understand why God gave that law. Yeah. So they did not fully understand that law was meant for them and not for God. Yeah. That law was meant for man. Observing the Sabbath day was meant for man, not for God. That is, it is not to put God in a box. But that was what the Pharisees believed. They believed on the Sabbath days, God doesn't walk. Yeah, that God doesn't do anything. He doesn't walk. Yeah, so no human being should walk because God doesn't walk on that day, which is wrong. Yeah, so Jesus was trying to open their eyes to see that this Sabbath day is not for God. This law, God didn't give this law because of himself. Yeah, God gave the law of keeping the Sabbath because of man. Yeah, because he wants man to grow spiritually. Yeah, because majority of the Israelites, they were into different kind of businesses. Some of them, they do agriculture. Some of them, they do, you know, all kinds of businesses. Yeah, and they would work from Monday or from Sunday. So God said, on Saturday, nobody should work. Yeah, he said, on Saturday, nobody should work. Let everyone spend time with him and let everyone rest. So God gave that law so that they will be able to grow spiritually. and so that you will be able to bless them. They'll be able to have time to pray and have time to fellowship with him. So that law was for human beings. Yeah, that law wasn't for God. It's not like God needed a day to rest. God himself is in a state of rest, eternal state of rest. Yeah, so God is always resting. Even as he's walking, he's resting. Yeah, so God doesn't need another special rest. Yeah, so in fact, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, yeah, the Bible says he rested on the seventh day. Now, that rest was not because God was tired. Yeah, the rest was not because God was tired and then he wanted to rest. No. The rest was because the things God created, those things need to rest and perfect themselves. Yeah, it's more like maybe you wanted to upload a video. Yeah, it's more like you were recording a video and then later you want to upload it maybe from your phone or from your laptop to a website or to a platform, maybe to YouTube or to Facebook. You want to upload a video. You know, when you're uploading a video, you sit down and wait for the video to upload itself. Yeah, so that was what God did. So the rest in Genesis, you know, the rest that was mentioned there about creation, where that place that says God created all things for 6 days and on the seventh day he rested. That rest wasn't for God. It wasn't like God was tired and then he decided to rest. That rest was for those things that he created. God wanted those things to perfect or to kind of to be established. So God waited for those things to rest and be perfect. Something like that. It wasn't God that was resting as though he was tired. It was those things that was, you know, God left them and allowed them to kind of become established. Yeah, and we saw Jesus confirmed what I've just said. Yeah, Jesus said it in another place. He said, "My Father, I've always been walking." Yeah, he said, "My Father has I've always been walking." Let me show you that, please. Yeah, so God, I've always been walking. So God is not someone that gets tired and then choose one day to rest. No. Yeah, but the Pharisees, they didn't understand the spirituality of observing the Sabbath days. They thought on that day everything rest, including God and the angels. Yeah, they don't know that it was them that God wanted them to rest on that day and take time to grow spiritually. They thought it was God that rests, and they feel like every other person should not do anything on that day. So let me show you where Jesus said his Father have always been walking. So he was confirming that there have never been a time his Father doesn't walk. Yeah, let me look at that, please. Um, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 verse 17. John chapter 5 verse 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. So what he meant by walketh hitherto is that my Father has I've always been walking. New Living Translation makes it clearer. John 5 verse 17. Yeah, in New Living Translation, it says, But Jesus replied, My Father is always walking, and so am I. Yeah, so I was telling them that his Father is always walking. So whether it's a Sabbath day or whatever day, his Father is always walking. Yeah, but the religious Pharisees, And the other religious leaders in those days, they were persecuting Jesus because they felt no one should do good. Because, you know, since God is always working, and what Jesus was doing is the work of God. Yeah, because Jesus wasn't healing the sick by his own power. Of course, we know that he was also God, but he was completely dependent on God when he was here as a human, as a man. Yeah, all the power he used to work miracles, he got everything. I mean, he let God do those miracles through him. Yeah. So, since God is always working, God is always doing good. So, he said, I also am here to do good. So, Jesus was telling them that, which of you will have a sheep? And, you know, we have only one sheep, and then you see that sheep fall into the pit, which of you will not quickly jump into that pit or do something to bring the sheep out of the pit? So Jesus told them that it is good, or it is right, to do good on the Sabbath days. Yeah. So Jesus was showing them that the Sabbath days doesn't put God in a box. Yeah, in fact, the Sabbath days makes God to do a lot of his signs and wonders in the lives of the people. But the Pharisees were not seeing it like that. So people can take a doctrine in the Bible or a commandment in the Bible, people can take it religiously instead of take it spiritually. Yeah. And those of us that decide to take the word of God spiritually, we will get persecuted by those who are taking it religiously. For instance, even today as I'm talking to you, there are some churches that still follow the Sabbath. Yeah, they still follow the Sabbath doctrine. Yeah, there are some churches that they don't have their meetings on Sundays. They have their meetings on Saturdays. And then they will tell you, let's say you are having your own Sunday services on your own church how do I say it? You're having church service on Sundays, they'll tell you that you are going to hell because you're not following the law of the Sabbath. Yeah, some of you know churches like that. Yeah, they are following that commandment religiously and not spiritually. Yeah, because now in the New Testament dispensation, we can worship God any day. Yeah, it doesn't have to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It doesn't have to be on Saturday. It can be any day. We can gather together at any time, in any way, at any day. You know, why? Because Jesus have raised us into a higher realm, where we don't have to follow many of the Old Testament laws anymore to be perfect. Jesus have really lifted us up above many Old Testament laws. But even now that we are in the New Testament dispensation, some people are still following some laws in the Old Testament that are already irrelevant and unnecessary. Yeah, some people are still following certain laws in the Old Testament that have already been cancelled by Jesus or by what Jesus did for us. So I pray that you will not create for yourself religious doctrines. I pray that you will approach the Bible with the right mind so that the Holy Spirit can interpret the Bible to you in Jesus' name. So let us look at another scripture. John chapter, I think I've read that place, but let us read John chapter 5 verse 16. John chapter 5 verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Yeah, what exactly did he do? New Living Translation says, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. Yeah. So the things Jesus did, that is the miracles, the healing miracles he did, they consider that miracle as wrong because it happened on the Sabbath day. Yeah, so we should be careful of religious people who want to put you under bondage of certain doctrines that have already been abolished or cancelled by Jesus or by what Jesus did. Yeah, we should be careful of people like that who will come to you and then they tell you have to follow this law, you have to follow that law because it's in the Old Testament, whereas those laws are no longer relevant. Yeah. And some of them, they will kind of give you an impression that if you don't follow those laws, you're going to hell. That, you know, God cannot be pleased with you. So don't obey such people. Don't listen to them. Let us also look at John chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. John chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I shewed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Yeah, so you can see a lot of things Jesus went through in the hands of these people. Yeah, they really troubled him a lot. Yeah, many of them did not believe him and did not receive him as the Savior, as the Messiah. So they were like, "We can't accept the fact that you are claiming to be a son of God. Yeah, as a man, you are claiming that you are a son of God. So, which means you are making yourself equal with God." Yeah. So they say, "You did good works. You did miracles. And that is good." Yeah, that you did miracles, you did good works, and that is very good, but we still have to stone you because of blasphemy, because you are claiming to be what you are not. Yeah, we know your father, we know your mother, we know your siblings. And you are claiming that, and you are claiming to be a son of God." Yeah, so they were really offended. They were really very offended in him, and they were going to kill him. Yeah, but because it wasn't yet his time, so many times he would escape those attacks, but they were really determined to kill him. Yeah, they considered him as a blasphemer. They considered him to be a blasphemer. Yeah, so even today, there are some things a Christian would say in the midst of some religious people, and some people will not be able to accept it. They will tell you, "You are a blasphemer. It is wrong for you to say that." Yeah. So let us mark those people who follow religious doctrines or traditions and would not accept anyone that is working very closely with God. Yeah, they would not accept or believe that person. Yeah, because if you work very closely with God, sometimes you will do things that will look very strange, and you might see things that will sound very strange. Yeah, because the things of God, are very, very deep, and they are very high. They are higher than human knowledge and human understanding. So instead of those people to humble themselves and try to know Jesus more and try to know him more and try to learn more from him, they were going to kill him because they don't seem to understand who he is, and they don't want to understand. So you should take note of people who are religious, who are not spiritual, and who can easily get offended if you share some testimony with them, testimony about your relationship with God, and testimony about things God have shown you. So you should take note of such people and perhaps not share spiritual things with them. Yeah, except God command you to share with them. Yeah, so we're going to now look at other reasons why persecutors attack Christians. Another one is religious jealousy. Religious jealousy. Yeah. And then fear of competition. Let us read Matthew 27 verse 18. Matthew 27 verse 18. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Or maybe I should read from verse 17. Matthew 27 from verse 17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. So this was the governor of that time, the governor of that particular region. His name was Pilate. So he was telling them, he was trying to see how serious they are about crucifying Jesus. So he told them, he said, there's a criminal here named Barabbas. Should I release him to you, or should I release Jesus to you? Yeah, but they said Barabbas. Yeah, because at that time, I think during this period, Pilate have the authority to release a prisoner to them for free, without the prisoner being. Or let me say, all the charges against the prisoner can be lifted during this particular period. So then there's that opportunity for the people to choose one person the governor should release, and he was trying to give them that chance, and he said, should I release Barabbas or should I release Jesus? And they all shouted that they want Barabbas. a criminal. Yeah, and this man called Pilate knew that it was because of envy that they wanted to kill Jesus. Yeah, it was because of envy or jealousy. Yeah, because they saw that Jesus was getting more famous day by day, and he was pulling more crowds day by day, and they were very uncomfortable with that. Yeah, because they felt like if Jesus continue to do that, so the people may reject their leadership and they may all believe what Jesus is teaching them. Yeah, so they handed him over to Pilate mostly because of envy, not really because he broke all the Sabbath rules or broke the scriptures. Yeah, because at a point he let them know that he is the Christ. Yeah, and according to the Old Testament, the Christ could even claim to be God. Yeah. So they know that if indeed Jesus is the Christ, everything he had done is correct. Yeah. But they were envious of him. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. They know that if this man's testimony is true that he is the Son of God, then he could do anything and it will be correct. Yeah, because God is correct. Whatever God does is correct. Yeah, even if some people feel like he's not correct, yeah, as long as it is God doing it, it is correct. Yeah, whatever God does is righteous. Yeah. So if they could accept that he is the Christ, then all the other issues they had with him will be cancelled. Yeah. But they couldn't accept. And that was why they were having issues with him. Because they couldn't accept that he is the Christ. And some of them were going to accept because Jesus did some very shocking miracles that they know, you know, that no one had ever done before, and they know that only God could do those things. Yeah, and some of them were going to really believe that he is the Christ, but because of the envy, they kind of prevented themselves from believing him. Yeah, so we can be persecuted because of religious envy or jealousy. Yeah, when some people feel like you are doing better than them, you are succeeding in your ministry or in your calling. Yeah, or you are doing better spiritually than them, so they start to envy you. Yeah, and even persecute you. So we have seen cases of pastors persecuting pastors because of envy. Yeah, because the other pastor is doing well than them. Yeah. So let us look at another scripture. Mark chapter 11.
verse 18. Mark 11:18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Yeah, so this is confirming the other reason I mentioned, which is fear of competition. Fear of competition. So we can be persecuted because some people feel like we are competing with them. So they feared Jesus because they see him as a competitor. They see him as someone who just appeared from nowhere and want to turn the hearts of all the people to himself. Yeah. So they feared him. Yeah, that is they feared what would happen if he continued to preach and minister to the people. Yeah, so they saw him as a threat to their own leadership or control over the people. Yeah, so that is fear of competition. Even today, there are some church leaders that have this fear of competition. Yeah, some of them, they don't want the young ministers that are just rising in the church. They don't want them to become more relevant or more famous or more recognized than they are. Yeah, so they have this fear of competition. They feel like if I give this young minister the platform to preach to the people, or maybe if I allow him to mount the pulpit and preach more, so now later people will start to follow him and they will leave me. Yeah. So they feel like if I let this young minister to engage with the people in his ministry or in ministrations, I might start losing my own authority or fame. Yeah, so that fear is why they persecute. Yeah, and some of them, they will even poison the minds of the congregation against the young ministers. They will say, I heard that this guy is saying this or that, don't listen to him, or he's trying to confuse you or mislead you, don't listen to him. So they try to turn the hearts of the people to themselves. Yeah, because they fear that the people might start following the other minister. Yeah, so which is wrong, because Jesus have not called us to compete with one another. Jesus have called us to work together or to complement one another. Yeah, not to compete with each other. Yeah. I pray that you will not have the mind of competition, especially when it comes to ministry, in Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13. Verse 44 to 45. Acts of the Apostles 13. 44 to 45.
And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and speak against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Yeah. You can see the Jews, they were filled with envy. Because Paul and Barnabas, they entered into that city and they start to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Jews that have been there before they came around were filled with envy. And they start to poison the mind of the people. Yeah, they started to speak against all the things that Paul was saying to them. Yeah, they were contradicting those things. They were blaspheming those things. So you can see that there will always be some people who, because of envy, will persecute you, especially when God began to use you for His glory. They will persecute you because they feel like you're trying to run ahead of them. You're trying to shine more than them. Yeah. Even though some of them, they know that what you are doing is correct and is according to the truth, but because of envy, they will want to stop you by all means and at all cost. Yeah, so when you see those people, you should not be afraid. Yeah, if you read that verse 46, you will see it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. Yeah, they were bold. Yeah. They waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, they were talking to the Jews, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So they told the Jews that it was necessary that you become the first partakers of this gospel of Jesus that gives everlasting life. But since you people don't want this everlasting life, then we will take it to the Gentiles. Yeah, so that it was here that Apostle Paul became the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle to the Gentiles, because the Jews rejected Jesus and they rejected everlasting life. I pray that you will not reject everlasting life in Jesus' name, and you will not stop those that are going about preaching the gospel that gives everlasting life in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at the last scripture before we pray. Open your Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Verse 5. Acts of the Apostles 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. You can see,
They even went to hire some, I don't even know what to call them. Some, maybe, let's look at what New Living Translation called those people. Here in King James Version, it says some lewd fellows. Yeah. Let's see what NLT calls it, or calls them. Acts 17, verse 5. Yeah, it says, but some of the Jews were jealous, so they gathered some troublemakers. Yeah, so that's the word, troublemakers. So they went to go and hire those people. They paid them so that they will go and trouble everywhere. You know, Paul was, you know, was doing the ministry. Yeah, they said. It says they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob, and start a riot. Yeah. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so they could drag them out to the crowd. Yeah. So they were hired troublemakers, because they couldn't tolerate the ministry of Paul and Silas. Yeah, so they sent these troublemakers, and they sent them in large numbers into this house where Paul and Silas were accommodated. Yeah, they were hoping that they would drag them out and beat them up. Yeah. So, usually, religious people who have religious jealousy or envy will do things like this. I think I heard of a woman of God who said, several times some pastors have sent assassins. They have sent assassins to come and kill her. Yeah, because of the things she exposes, because she exposes their secrets. Yeah, because she preaches the truth. So some big pastors hired assassins to kill her. Yeah. So there is nothing people with religious jealousy and envy cannot do to stop whoever is standing for Jesus 100%. Yeah, they could do anything. Yeah. And I believe there's a reason why God is making us to consider this topic called persecution at this time. Yeah, because I perceive in my spirit that so many Christians will be persecuted all over the world very soon. Yeah, and so many churches and ministries will also be persecuted. Yeah, so we should not be moved whenever such persecution rises against us. In fact, we should increase our boldness and fearlessness during such times. Yeah, so don't, because you are being persecuted and then you now withdraw from God's work. No. In fact, that is when you should even do God's work more. Yeah, so I pray that the Lord give you more understanding concerning this topic. Yeah, but know it that nobody can kill you before your time. Yeah, all the apostles, they died at the time God wanted them to die. Yeah, we saw that several times they tried to kill Jesus, and they couldn't because it was not yet his time. Yeah, so you should know that no one can kill you before your time, even during persecution. So you should be bold, and you should do whatever God has called you to do or have sent you to do. So even if you are being persecuted by family members, you should not be moved. You should do God's work. Or you are being persecuted by fellow Christians or by fellow ministers of God, you should be strong, and you should be bold. And God will defend you. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. Since there are no questions, we are going to pray. If you have question, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Father, we thank you for this teaching. Thank you for showing us other reasons why persecution comes to your children, to believers. Thank you for showing us that we should be bold and fearless in the face of any persecution, even if it's coming from fellow Christians or fellow ministers of God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for also showing us that we should not fall into the trap of religious doctrines and religious traditions. And we should not also fall into the trap of religious jealousy and religious fear of competition. Thank you for showing us all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask that you strengthen every one of us to become stronger, even as Satan bring persecution our ways, in Jesus' name. I ask that even if we face persecution, that you let us become stronger in the midst of the persecution, and that we will not be weak or discouraged when we get persecuted. Father, do that in our lives in Jesus' name. Let us love you more than whatever anybody can do to us in Jesus' name. Let us boldly and fearlessly testify Jesus anywhere we find ourselves, and even in the midst of people that hate to hear about Jesus. Oh Lord, give us the boldness to stand for the truth and to preach the truth without fear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.